Great to be with you. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. Thanks for being a part of our services. Those are with us online as well. Thank you for joining us. Hey, can we just give it up for Pastor Zach? Didn't he do a great job last week? What a great guy. What a great word. Love him. If you missed his sermon, go watch it online. It's incredible. I love his ingredients. I love that. It was great, great message, great, powerful word. He's such a dear friend and a great leader here. And so thankful. We've got a lot of great leaders that are part of our church. So thankful to have you here. I am fired up because God already told me something that he wants me to tell you. And that is this. This is your year. I don't think you heard me. You didn't hear me. I said, this is your year. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on now. I need someone to get excited. I need to hear you right now. That's right. That's right. I'm telling you right now, God spoke this in my spirit to come to you. I'm excited about today. Today's message is called Light It Up, because it's time to light it up this year in your life, in your career, in your marriage, in your family, in your walk with God. God has big things for you. I'm convinced, and so I'm fired up. You guys ready to go? Because I'm ready to dive right into God's Word. I've got something for you today. I'm telling you. I'm glad you guys are here. Don't you love the new year? I love just starting fresh and new. You know, you can set your New Year's resolutions, you know. And, of course, mine are always good from last year, too, because I haven't done them yet. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys... It's true, is it not? You know, you're like, I'm going to quit all my bad habits, but no one likes a quitter, right? So come on, you know. If you're like me, you're like, God, how do I really change? How do I see this year be truly new? And I believe that God has something for you today, but also we're launching a new series, of course, this next week called You in 5 Years. And so I want to encourage you to be here for that series. In fact, I think if you apply the things we're going to talk about this next couple of weeks, you can be different in 5 months, not 5 years. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of this new series and bring someone with you. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm excited today. I want to talk about Light It Up. God speaks a lot about light in Scripture, about how he's the light of the world. He wants to light and illuminate our path. And so let's unpack that today. Check out the scripture. Let's start in Psalms 119. Here we go. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Psalms 119 also says the teaching of your word gives light. So even the simple can understand. I like that. It's like even the simple. Well, we could say even the stupid can understand, right? Like even me, right? I'm like, God, even I can get that. How many of you guys need God's will like given to you like not like in a small whisper, but God, could you just give me a 2x4 by the head? You know what I'm saying? That way I know your will. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about? Like just, Lord, is she the one? She broke up with me. Okay, God, you made that clear. You know what I mean? Like that kind of like, just give me your will, God. Just make it clear as day. Now I know, right? I just want to encourage you that when I hear people say things like, you know, I think God's trying to talk to you. I'm like, God's not trying to talk to you. God's God. If he wants to talk to you, he's going to tell you something. Does that make sense? And so he's a big God. He will get his will to you. But the number one way that he gets his will is through this book. And so I just want to challenge you that this is a letter God wrote to you. So if you want to get God's will and you're not in his book, that's ridiculous. Like you got to get in his word. Don't say, what's the Gladiator movie about and never go see the movie Gladiator. Like that's how you actually define what it's about, is you go to it. So I want to challenge you, if you want to know what God has for you, get in this word. Did you know Psalms 119 is one of the longest chapters in the entire Bible? Now, first of all, I want to point out chapters in the Bible were man-made, like the actual breaking apart of the sections, okay? So let's be clear about that. But it wasn't by accident either. In other words, the people that did that enumerated the word of God, that gave each, you know, verse a verse, like this is verse 1, 2, 3, 4. It was done with thought. It wasn't just accidental. And so when you read Psalm 119, if you're like me, you read it and you're like, this is really long. Like it's great, but it's really long. But that's because we don't have it in the, we don't understand it in the original Hebrew. In the original Hebrew, it was in sections, and there's 22 sections because each section starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it'd be like if it was an English alphabet, we would get it. It'd be like, oh, this is A, and the section starts with B, and then C, D. We'd be like, okay. So when you're halfway through, you're not tired. You're like, okay, no, we're around M, N, O, P. We're going to keep going here. We're like, you know where you're going. So there's 22 sections. So like verse 1 through 8 is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. But more importantly than that, what I want to point out about Psalms 119 is it uses the same phrases in the same words again and again. For example, Psalms 119 uses the word law 25 times. That's a lot. So I thought, what does the word law mean? The word law means direction or instruction. So do you want God's will? Do you want to know his direction for you? Well, then get in his word. And so clearly it says that. Did you know it also uses the word in Psalms 119? It uses the word word, W-O-R-D, 20 times. That word means reveal or revelation. So God's revealing himself to you, revealing his direction to you. Did you know, and this is my favorite one, he uses the word promise 19 times. So I looked at the word promise. You know what promise means? Binding. Like a contract. I can't get out of it. It's bound. So God's saying, when I tell you something, I'm bound by it. I contractually must do it. Joshua 1, if you follow my instructions, I will make you successful. I am contractually bound for you to succeed because you followed my word. I'll follow his word now. You know, Malachi says what? Malachi chapter 3. If you bring the tithe, I will open a window of heaven and bless you. God's like, I have to bless you because you brought, sorry, I'm spraying right now. I'm sorry. We'll put a screen up just to help you. I'm sorry. I'm spraying all over here. I'm sorry. They're like, wow, I'm really getting the word in all kinds of ways today. Sorry about that. I apologize. He's contractually bound to bless you. He's like, because you brought the tithe, I have no choice but to pour out a blessing upon you. That should get you excited. God's like, he's like, I got to do it. I'm God. I said it. I'm going to do it. So he is bound by his promises. And then he uses the word testimony 22 times. What does that mean? Testimony means declaring. He declares over you who you are, what you can do, what you can have. It's a declaration. And then David's response in Psalms 119, he uses these words over and over again. He says, I delight in your word. I obey your word. I meditate on it. It preserves me and it renews me. Wow. Guys, if you want a better life, if you want everything to change for you, get in his book. It will change everything about you. It really will. It's that powerful. If you don't believe me, try it. Have you ever just tried it? You're at the beginning of a new year. This is why I love the one-year Bible. You can get the one-year Bible app. You can get the one-year Bible audio. You can get so many different ways now. I want to challenge you. You may say, well, I don't want to do it that way. Well, I don't care what your Bible reading plan is. Just have one. Just get in the word however you want to do. You may just start in Genesis 1. That's fine. Just gets a little tough when you hit like Numbers and Deuteronomy and, you know, you get in Leviticus and be like, oh, this is a lot of law. That's why I like the one-year Bible. It kind of breaks it up for you. But do it however you want to do it. But I can't tell you how many times in my journal I'll write, God, will you just tell me one way or the other, what should I do about this? And I'll open that next day's reading and it's unbelievably clear that there's a word directly with what I needed with the question I just asked. That happens to me all the time. It's not an accident. God's word is living. It's alive. He is speaking to us, and he has so much to tell you if you'll just give him the time. Get in his word. Let God's word light up. Number one, let God's word light up your path. It really will do that. Now, the other thing I want to encourage you to do is this. Look at John chapter 3. It says, God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. So this verse tells us, right, that we are drawn to the light when we're trying to do the right thing. We're drawn away from the light when we're doing the wrong thing, right? But there's also a principle here in the scripture that I just want to say. It's inferred in the word of God, and this is really powerful. And that is this, that if you need to change an area of your life, let's get real, okay? If there's a sin that always gets the best of you, and all of us have something that gets the best of us, right? Whether it's the cupcake on the table, or the internet site that you shouldn't go to, or the gossip column that you run to, or the social media stuff that's all, you know, negative, and you, but somehow you're still drawn to those stories. Whatever it is for you, I want to tell you right now, one of the ways that you will keep sin alive in your life is letting it stay in darkness. But what kills sin in your life is exposing it to light. Just like when you have a wound, sunlight is very good for it. Did you know that? It's very good for it. So I want to encourage you in the same way. You gotta expose yourself. That sounds really wrong. Don't say that. Let's not expose ourselves. I mean, what I mean is that if you have a struggle, I'm not saying post on Instagram, but what I am saying is go to someone that you trust and share it with them. The Bible says, confess your sins to God and he will forgive you. It does not say he will heal you. Interesting, isn't it? He says, confess your sins one to another for healing. Oh, so God forgives me, but others help heal me. In other words, you can ask God to forgive you over and over again for your drug abuse, but if you really want to change your drug abuse, you need to go 12-step. Because that's going to be confessing where you're at with people who understand. They're going to get it. to where your parents aren't going to get it because they're probably not drug addicts. But if you're struggling with that, and someone else are like, oh, yeah, been there. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you're dealing with, man. I'm the same way. Yeah, it's really hard to get your 30-day chip. I get all these people get me. Exactly. So you can share that with each other. If you're a mom and you're really struggling with a teenager, go talk to another mom who's dealing with a teenager or who's already dealt with that and they've gotten through that stage. They'll be able to help you. Does that make sense? We need each other. So confess your struggle with someone who can help you. If you're struggling with looking at the wrong things, go talk to someone else about that. They'll go, oh, I get it, man. Yeah, I understand. Here's what I had to do to overcome that. Talk with other people. If you will do this, exposing your struggle to someone else, this is what will help you. Guys, I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of going to Twitter and finding more and more stories of leaders who have fallen, pastors who have messed up, politicians who have done something stupid, you know, business leaders. It's like, man, how many times? And so here's what I've learned. Either I can expose my struggle one-on-one with someone who can help me, or I will get exposed. Which one do you want? Because the Bible says your sins will find you out. So if I continue doing the wrong things, it's going to come out. Or I can go to someone and say, I'm trying to stop doing this. Does that make sense? And you may say, well, Pastor, I'm not dealing with something that's like massively immoral that's going to like destroy my... Great. I praise God that you're not, right? But I'm talking even little things. If you want to change, go talk to someone else who can help you with that. If you say, I'm trying to turn my health around. Do you know someone who's turned their health around? Go share with them. Man, I'm really tired of just this up and down on my weight, or I just feeling bad. I'm just lethargic. At 3 o'clock, I want to fall over. I'm so tired. What do I do? And I was right there with you. Here's what I did. Get with someone who understands your struggle, who's been there and has overcome it. You say, well, but what I'm dealing with, man, no one ever dealt with. Are you kidding me? There are websites dedicated to what you're dealing with. Because we all deal with the same stuff. The Bible's real clear about this. So I just want to encourage you that I promise you there are books, seminars, websites dedicated to overcoming whatever you're dealing with. So I just want to encourage you, those help, but when you share your struggle with someone else, it's a game changer. Healing happens when you connect and confess what you're dealing with someone else. I want to encourage you to do this. It is the game-changing move. And so number two, bring your sin or struggle into the light for healing to happen. Sin lives in secrecy and darkness. Sin dies in the light. So you can be set free anytime you'd like, but it's going to take some humility because you may have to share something humiliating with someone else. But if you will do this, it will change your life, I promise. It's worth doing it. Again, not just anyone. I'm not saying go post it. No. I'm saying go to someone you trust, a friend, a best friend, a pastor, a counselor. Talk with someone who can help you. It's a game changer. So just want to challenge you. Bring your sin or struggle into the light for healing to happen. Let me tell you why this is important. I want to read you something. I want you to listen really clear to this. Listen. I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward and upward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. 90% of the things you do might as well just be turned over to me. And I will be able to do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do them automatically. I am the servant of all great people, and alas, I'm also the failures as well. I am not a machine plus the intelligence of a man. You can run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. We are the sum total of the habits we keep. If I knew you personally and closely, I could look closely at your life and tell the habits of your last 5 years from where you are today. If you have a massive amount of debt out of control, I already know the habits that got you there. If you're financially free, I know the habits that got you there. If you are doing good emotionally, there are habits that good emotional people do to be emotionally healthy. If you're emotionally a mess, there are habits to get you there too. Does that make sense? If you're depressed, you're doing what depressed people do. If you are happy and full of joy, then you're doing what joy-filled people do. Just there are habits that make or break you. And let's be honest, most of us have a little bit of both. We have a little bit of some that make us well and some that make us sick. So I want to challenge you. In fact, this series we're doing you in 5 years. We're going to talk about habits. It's not the only thing we're going to talk about, but we are going to talk about that because you are the sum total of the habits you've kept for the last 5 years. So if you want to change, the good news is you can. It takes a season of doing new habits, but if you'll do that, after a short season, you'll see a difference. So you can change your life anytime you want. Don't miss this next series. Now, I want to continue with this. So we need to follow God's word to light up our path, expose our sin to someone we trust for healing. And then the next one, number three, come into the light of fellowship. 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this is really important. If you want to live in God's light, be around lit up people. I didn't say get lit. Don't confuse that. God wants you to be around people full of God's light. This is really important. You show me who you're hanging out with, and I'll show you your future. Because you're going to become just like them. So who you hang out with, you become like. If you hang out with people who are depressed and a mess, you'll eventually become depressed and a mess. If you hang out with people that treat their spouses badly, you'll pick up on those habits and treat your spouse badly. If you hang out with people who are financially strong, you will become financially better as well. If you hang out with people who are close to the Lord, you'll become close to the Lord. When I hear young people tell me, you know, oh man, all my friends do drugs. And I just smile and say, so how long have you been doing them? Oh, I don't do it. I say, well, you will. You just told me all your friends do it. You're going to do whatever your friends do. So who you hang out with, you become like. So I just want to challenge you. You just need to understand. Even if you recognize what they're doing is wrong, you'll still end up doing it. My wife tells me that she knows who I'm talking on the phone with by how I sound. She's like, you start speaking like them. Do you do this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I'm talking to Marcus Brindling, our campus pastor at the broadcast campus, he's from London. I start sounding like him. I'm Marcus Brindling from Church Unlimited. I just start sounding like that. It's just one of those things, you know? So who you hang out with, you begin to sound like. It's true. You act like the people around you. You show me your friends, I will show your future. So I want to challenge you. What does this mean? One of two things. You need either start serving in God's house, in this church, because then you have friends that you do life with, that you serve with, or join a life group. Either one will do it. And you can even do both, and that's great too. A lot of people serve, also in a life group, and that's great. And so what happens is what I'm trying to say is Christianity is more caught than taught. So who you hang around with really does matter. We really shouldn't even call them life groups anymore. We should call them lifelines, because that's what it really is. When you're in a great life group, it's a game changer. When you go through a bad experience, when you have a tough time, you need a life group. You say, well, I don't need that right now. But what about when you do? Why don't you join a life group before you need it? Because we're all going to go through things in life, and we need each other to support each other, to be there for each other. Can we just give it up right now for our life group leaders? Aren't we thankful for them and the impact they make on our lives? I'm so thankful for mine. We do need each other. I want to encourage you to get in a life group, start serving, get plugged in, and get to know one another, because we really do need each other. And the last thing here, number four, be a light to others. Matthew chapter 5 says this, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You may say, okay, Pastor, I hear you. I'm supposed to be a light, but you don't understand where I work. Like, I'm the only Christian in the entire office. Wow, God trusts you that much? He put you as a lone light. He believes in you that much. You must be a huge impact then. You could make a huge difference. He believes in you that much. You're the only light. That's how good you are. That's how much God trusts you. That's how much God believes in you. You can do it. You see, I'm the only Christian on the cheer squad. I'm the only Christian in the band. I'm the only Christian on the football team. I'm the only Christian in my workout group. I'm the only Christian. I promise you, first of all, if you begin to speak up, you're not. You'll be able to speak up and someone else will be like, I'm also a believer. Oh, I didn't know. I promise you, if you just begin to speak up, we realize we're not quite the minority we think we are. There are more believers around you, but you got to speak up. I had a guy one time tell me, though, in his office, this happened. I kid you not. He goes, yeah, so I was talking to a guy that said, you know, I'm a Christian. And the guy looked at him and said, you are? And he told me I was so embarrassed. I realized my language didn't say I was. The things I took part in or didn't take part in didn't show I was different. And he was confessing. He realized it. Another guy told me one time he went to a club. He'd received Christ, and about 6 months later, he goes to a club. He's talking to some girl. He's like, yeah, I'm a Christian. She looked at him. She goes, what are you doing here? Convicted him. He realized it's like, oh, man, I'm doing everything the world's doing. I'm not any different. But yet I know better, but I'm not doing better. So I want to challenge you. Let's live different. God wants us to be a light to a dark world. We need to show people what it looks like to have a godly marriage, what it looks like to make godly decisions, what it looks like to honor God with your vocabulary, what it looks like to honor God when you're online and when you're responding to people who are upset with you. You should live different. Now listen, I'm not talking about being obnoxious. If you're the manager at HEB, please do not go to the mic and be like, excuse me, attention, HEB, Jesus is Lord. Please don't do that. You will get fired. Please don't, not a good idea, okay? But what I'm saying is that by the way you respond to people who are angry, by the way you show grace to people when others wouldn't, by the way you handle yourself, people will be like, they're different. There's something about you. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different. And then you can tell them, it's because of God in my life. Guys, let's light up our world by being Christians. Shocker. Let's actually believe it and do it, is what God's word says. In fact, God's word says this in Acts 1:8. It says, you will be my witnesses. You say, well, I don't want to be his witness. And you're still being a witness. You're just being a bad one. He says, you'll be, hey, this is a command. This is not a suggestion. He says, you'll be my witness. He's basically saying, tell people about your faith. You say, but I can't by the way I'm living. Then maybe it's time to clean some things up. Or be honest, at least, I'm a Christian. I know I don't always get it right. I mess up. I make mistakes. Of course you do. We all do. We all make mistakes. We all say things we don't mean. We all pop off. And like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That's just being human. But the fact that you're trying, that you're doing your best, even when you make mistakes, people will give you grace. Just be real. I just want to challenge you. You can make an impact more than you think you can. You really can. You can be a game changer to someone. Let's light up the world in which we live, the place where we work, the place where we hang out, the things that we do. Let's be different. Lou Holtz, the former coach of Notre Dame, would often go and share inspirational stories, and he was an inspirational speaker too, and he told the same story again and again, a very powerful story. It's a true story. He told a story about a high school coach that was coaching his team one day, and they were in practice, and someone came out from the field house, and he saw their face, and was like, something's bad. So he told the whole team, everyone take a knee. He walked over and took the note from someone. He read the note, and he was like, ah. He says, son, pointing to the kid, come here. Boy gets over, walks over. He says, son, I'm really sorry. The team's all over there. He says, son, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but someone just let us know that your father just passed away. The boy begins to cry. But he noticed the boy was crying, but he wasn't shocked. So he says, son, did you know your dad was sick? He said, yes, sir. My dad's been sick a long time. He said, I'm so sorry, son. He honestly didn't even know the boy's name. The boy, he was a second, third stringer on defense. He didn't really work with them much. So he just, you know, he just like, I'm really sorry. You know, pat him on the back, said, we're going to be thinking of you. A couple of his buddies got up, gave him a hug, you know, that knew him. Then he said, your mom's going to come pick you up. Go ahead and get showered up. And just, you know, anything we can do for you, just know we're going to be thinking of you. So the boy walks into the field house and gets cleaned up. They continue with practice. About a week later, he shows back up at practice. And of course, the coach, just trying to be compassionate, said, hey, how was the funeral? He says, oh, it was good, coach. Thank you. I appreciate you. And he said, well, we're thinking of you. He goes, I appreciate that. He said, you know, you don't have to be back here. He goes, no, I want to be here. So, okay, well, yeah, this is great. We're glad you're here, you know. He says, coach, I have one request. He's like, yeah, just name it. How can I help you? He says, coach, if there's any way, I would love to play this next game. Coach is like, you know, son, I'm going to be honest with you. It's homecoming. It's our big rival game. You know that. And he goes, coach, just one play. The coach, you know, what could he do, right? He was like, all right, I'll put you in for one play. He's like, thanks, coach. That's all I'm asking for. He's like, all right, that's good. They come to the homecoming game. Coach is on the sidelines, got the headphones on. He's, you know, trying to do his job. And the kid is right here. And he's just like, okay, I see you. I know. And he'd already told the physical coordinator. He's like, I see you, son. Okay, just give me a little space. He's like, okay, coach, just make sure I'm ready. I know you're ready. So he's coaching the game, you know, and things are going. It's not going well. First quarter does not go well, you know. Second quarter goes a little worse. Third quarter, he's like, I can put anyone in now. It doesn't matter anymore. I mean, it's like, it's just they're losing, you know. And so finally, he looks at the kid, and he's like, okay. He looks at the defensive coordinator, and, you know. So defensive coordinator says, okay, let's go. And he lets him go in the game. immediately, first play the kids in the game, he stops the opposing running back, tackles him. And all the kids around him who know this kid, because they're friends with him, right? They know him from school. They just are high-fiving, yeah! They're all excited, you know? And so he's all fired up, you know? And he starts to run out of the game. Immediately, the coach is like, no, stay in the game. Stay in the game, you know? He's like, I don't know what's going on. He looks at his defensive coordinator. He's like, what the? You know, and he's like, I don't know. You know, like, they're like, did you not know about this kid, you know? And so he's like, stay in the game. Next play, stops up the play again. Eventually, I mean, basically, they get nowhere. The offensive comes back out. They're rallying. They score. By the end of the game, he played the rest of the game. They're like, no, stay in the game, right? His buddy who he'd replaced is like, I don't care. Have him stay in the game. This is incredible. They win the game. They're so fired up. And in the locker room, they all gather around. Coach hands the ball. He's like, give this right now. He hands him the game ball. They're cheering him on. They're excited for him. All the kids are going to go out like they normally do after the game and hang out, you know. And the coach says, hey, before you get out of here, come by my office. He's like, yes, sir. Showers up, cleans up, stops by the office. He says, yes, sir, do you want to talk to me? He says, yeah, son. He goes, I don't mean this to be offensive, but I never saw that kind of talent before out of you. And I don't know where this all excitement got, but you were like a crazy man out there. What happened? He said, coach, there's something you didn't know about my dad when he was sick, but because of his sickness, the last few years, he lost his eyesight. So this is the first game my dad could watch me play from heaven. You see, guys, there is a heavenly Father watching you, and he's cheering you on, and he believes in you more than you believe in him. And so when I tell you that the Holy Spirit told me this week that this is your year, that is your heavenly Father saying, I am cheering you on and I believe in you, and you need to leave everything behind from yesteryear, and today is a new year for you. Do you receive that? That is from the Lord. Would you bow your head to me, every head bowed, every eye closed, or you just take a moment to pray? I want to encourage you today. It is time to light it up in your life, in your marriage, in your career, in your parenting, in your finances, in your health, in your attitude. God says this is your year. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never given your life to Christ, you can receive him right now. All of our campuses, those watching online, please pray this prayer, and you can become a Christian right now. Here's how you do it. Just pray this prayer. Just say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If you just prayed that prayer, every head's bowed, every eye closed, would you just lift your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ? Just hold your hand high. If you just gave your life to Christ, just hold your hand high right now. Praise God. There are hands going up all across our churches. Thank you. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God. God's moving right now in Portland, Texas. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Rockport, Texas. Thank you. Thank you, Poser Island. God's moving right now in our West Side ministry. Hold those hands high. God's moving in our prison ministry. Hold your hand high. Those online, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text my hands raised or click hand raised right now that you gave your life to Christ. God, thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for those who just gave their life to you. You can put your hands down. Maybe your prayer today is to say, God, I know I'm already a Christian. I know I'm walking with you. But God, I thank you that I can be free from what's been holding me back. This is my year, God. You've spoken that over me today, God. This is my year to change, to live for you, to put you first. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my heart and my spirit. And I receive this message as from you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for your truth. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. It is. So, you want this year to be different. Here's one of the things we're going to do different this year. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God like never before. So I'm calling an audible across all of our campus right now. This Saturday night, before we start our new series, You in 5 Years, this Saturday night before that, we're going to pray. And so I'm calling for a prayer meeting at all of our campuses. We're going to live stream it from our broadcast campus, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. I will not violate that time. It will not go long. It will be 6 to 7. I want to challenge you to be here to pray for God's blessing over the church, over your life, over your marriage, over this year. Who will be here with me? Raise your hand at all of our campuses if you'll come 6 to 7 p.m. this Saturday night. Hold them up. Keep holding them up. Keep holding them up. Not enough hands. It's not enough hands. Nope. Nope. I don't receive that. If you want, come on. You want a better year or not? You want God to change your life? Look, make it a date night. Come 6 or 7 and go out after that. Make it a family night. Go with you, take your family to the mall or to the movies. Go to the Target, whatever. Go out. Make it a night. Hold your hand high. Look, Jesus said this. He said this, my house shall be a house of prayer. We hear that. We go, oh, that's nice. He said, no, he didn't say that. He confronted people with it. Did you know that? He confronted people who were using the church in the wrong way. He said, he kicked people out and then said, this is a house of prayer. So God's confronting you. You want a better year? Pray. You want a better year? Be here Saturday night, 6 p.m. for prayer. You want a better year? See you Saturday night.